and I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they had burned in a furnace. His voice as the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went forth a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Praise God. What we just saw, what we just read about in Revelation chapter 1, from verse 12 to 18, is a vision John the Apostle had of the Alpha and the Omega, the Almighty God. This vision he had while on the island of Patmos. Praise God. It's a vision that reveals the invisible attributes of Christ, who is the true God and eternal life. Oh, hallelujah. If you go further down in the book of Revelation, you see, he says, I am the Almighty. I am the Almighty God. So those of you who doubt that Jesus Christ is the embodiment of God, you better think twice. Hallelujah. There's no such thing as God somewhere in the sky and Jesus on the other part. No, they are one. If you see the Son, you see the Father. The Son is just the expression of the invisible God. Praise God. That is why we who are called into the faith of the Lord Jesus are the expression of God upon the earth. We are the light of the world, revealing the invisible God and his attributes for the men of this world to see. Praise God. This is our high calling as sons of God. Praise God. So that vision Paul John had upon the island of Patmos is actually a vision of the of Christ in his glory. Remember, while Jesus was here on earth, he always said, Father, glorify me with the glory which I had with you before this world was. Glorify me with the glory that I had with you before this world was. Then he now says, I go to the Father. I go to the Father. It's an ascension from his human state, or rather from the lowly earthly state which he bore, back into the celestial state he had before he descended into this world. Praise God. We must understand that that same pattern that Jesus followed is the same pattern that we today are following. Oh, hallelujah. We all must ascend. We all must ascend from the dust back into the glory of God, the way we are in the beginning. Oh, hallelujah. And when we are totally awoken, when we are totally resurrected, when we are back in the glory, that is the way we look, the way the Alpha and the Omega looked in the book of Revelation. Because that is one body, many members, multitudes, an innumerable company of saints, perfected spirits, gathered in one body called the Alpha and the Omega. That's why the voice spoke like, you know, the voice of many waters. We all gather into that body and we all begin to speak one language. When we have come to the unity of the faith, we speak one language, one tongue, in one accord, in unity. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. No more divisions like we see upon the earth. No more, I am of this, I am of that, I am of this religion, I am of that belief. I baptize this way, I don't baptize that way. I believe this thing, I believe that. All that thing comes to pass. We now speak with one voice. That is the voice of the Alpha and Omega. Praise God. Hallelujah. When John saw the image of the Alpha and Omega in this vision, the Bible says he was filled with fear. He fell as if dead. Praise God. That he saw, he was beholding the majesty of God, the glory of the begotten of God. Oh, hallelujah. It's very similar to that same transfiguration of Jesus upon the mountain. John had forgotten that he saw this same vision earlier on, but it was more elaborate in the book of Revelation, where his countenance shone like that of his son, and he was clothed with a light garment up to the feet. And out of his mouth came out double-edged sword. His eyes burned like flames of fire. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. That is the way we are in our fully awoken state. Praise God. Now we're going to focus on something that was on, you know, in the hands of the Alpha and Omega. Like we read in verse 18, "And I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I live forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." I have the keys of hell and death. He declares that, first of all, that I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I live forevermore. And now he talks about the key. I have the keys of hell and death. From this statement, he's trying to teach us something. Praise God. This thing was first of all fulfilled in Jesus. Because he descended from the glory of God. He descended from the impeccable glory of God into the lower part of the earth and became a man, a mortal man of the dust. He left his heavenly celestial image and put on the image, the lowly image of the man of the dust, which is the earthly man, the mortal man. Praise God. So you can see already he tasted of death. People think that death is something that has to do with your dying or something in the physical, with the physical body. You see, Paul talks about an experience he had, that he was once alive in the spirit. He was once alive. See, but when he found himself in this world, he died. Praise God. Let us understand that when we walk as men upon the earth, we are already living the life of the dead. Because in reality, We are not designed to walk as mortals. We are not designed to walk as flesh and blood. Praise God. So you can see that Jesus Christ had to complete that same circle that we are completing today. He too descended from the glory of God, rediscovered himself, and returned back to the glory of God. He died. He tested of the limitations of men. He tested of what separation from God is all about. He tested of the emotion and the agony and the pain that men suffer in their emotions. Praise God. That's why he could cry at times. That's why he could, at times he was almost overcome with fear. Why? Because he tasted of that lowly state of the man of the dust. He descended to the lower parts of the earth. Praise God. But what differentiated Jesus from other men is that he found the secret of life. He rediscovered the mystery of the ages. Praise God. That's why he told the scribes and the Pharisees over and over, I know where I'm coming from and I know where I'm going to. I know where I'm coming from, I know where I am going. But you don't know where you're coming from, you don't know where you're going. He knew that he came from the Father. He knew that he descended from the glory of the Father. And he knew that that was his destination. Many people do not know this thing today. Many men are ignorant of this mystery. Oh, hallelujah. People dive into, you know, religious activities and religious beliefs, which only widen the gap between you and God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ said, Father, glorify me with yourself. He realized his oneness with God. That they are not, you know, two separate things. Religion will always try to make you separate from God. Religion want to make you this and Christ Jesus that and God another thing. See, but if you have the revelation like Christ have, like Christ had, you will know that you descended from the glory of God. You will know that from the foundation of the world, you are one with God. There's no such thing as God there and you there. You are an integral part of the Godhead. Oh, hallelujah. At times, this thing looks like hard bones to chew, eh? Some people get offended when they hear these things. I've been challenged openly several places. When I open my mouth to speak and say these things that the Lord has revealed to us. But it's no wonder that even in the days of Jesus, they accused him of trying to make himself equal with God. They accused him of blasphemy, trying to make himself equal with God, simply because he had a revelation of the truth. Religion wants to make God separate from you. Religion wants to cause you to worship something externally without in the sky. Praise God. But truth will cause you to live in him, to walk in him, to walk as him. Oh, hallelujah. It was the keys of hell and death that Jesus Christ first of all applied in his own life that caused him to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. The Alpha and the Omega has the keys of hell and death. so that he loses himself from the grip of mortality and death, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against him. Hell and death is simply the realm of separation from God. It's a realm where you sense yourself as something apart from God. When you sense yourself as something contrary to God. When you sense a wall of separation between you and God. It could be out of a defiled conscience. It could be out of beliefs. Beliefs that religion has sowed into your mind from the moment you enter into this world. These things have separated you from God and caused you to live a life of many, many limitations. A life all alone in this world, in tribulation, fear, torment, anguish of soul, worries. Because God is somewhere far away. And you can't reach out to him. Praise God. Where there is fear, there is torment. See it, and all these things are the traits of hell. Separation from God. Hallelujah. It all comes from the beliefs and the lies that we have received from men and religion. Believes that God is somewhere in the sky trying to fetch you out and, you know, grill you in the barbecue, eternal barbecue somewhere in the sky. Believes that you must do this or do that religiously to get to God somewhere in the sky. Believes that Jesus Christ is somewhere coming to meet you somewhere physically, you know, in Jerusalem, and, you know, all those things are things that separate you, deny you from your blessings. Deny you from the things that God has freely given to you from the foundation of the world. Praise God. Jesus Christ spoke against his adversaries, the scribes and Pharisees. You see this in Luke chapter 11 verse 52. It says, "Woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourself, and them that were entering in, you hindered." Are you listening? The lawyers and the scribes and the Pharisees talk of the reasonings, the wisdom of this age, the principalities and powers that rule in religion, in traditions of men. Hallelujah. These beliefs hide the keys. Praise God. They take away the key of knowledge. We're not talking of lettered knowledge now. Reality, knowing. They take away the key of God's kingdom from you. They hide the keys from you. These beliefs hide this key from you so that you do not enter in to enjoy the totality of God's blessings. Praise God. If we still fear, if we still worry about family members, somebody probably might not be well, or something might have not gone well somewhere outside there, or you worry about your finances, worry about tomorrow, it simply means we have not known God. There is no way you can know God, be wrapped in God, to truly know God. Hallelujah. Totality of the knowledge of God and still have fear. It's impossible. Hallelujah. If you are wrapped in the knowledge of God, if you are wrapped in the true knowledge of God, you can walk upon the seas, upon the waves, and you will fear nothing. Praise God, because you are secured by the eternal arms of the Almighty. Praise God. So you see what happens to the people of this age is that they do not know God. They are veiled in their minds. They are veiled in their inner understanding, so they do not know God. The men of this age are bad, separated from God, far away from the presence of God in their minds. Praise God. And that is what produces hell. That is hell. That's producing your torments and your fears. You see, and these are the things that push you to get desperate and do things and, you know, out of desperation. So these are the things that make you look into your bank account and get scared. Simply because you're not encompassed in the knowledge of God. You're cut off from the life of God. You're cut off from the presence of God. Praise God. And that veiling, that separation, that, you know, division occurs as we are introduced into this natural realm and indoctrinated by men from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. These are the lawyers of this age, the ones that hide the keys of God's kingdom. But the Father is now giving us that key today, once more. The key, well, the keys of hell and hate, so that we can loosen ourselves from the grip of mortality. We can loosen ourselves from the illusion that we are separate from God, where anything separate from God, and enter back into that fellowship of light, where there is nothing like fear and worries. Praise God. In fact, those who find themselves back in God's kingdom have nothing to fear. There's no, everything becomes wonderful. The only thing that they suffer is persecution and opposition from those who do not have the revelation they have. Praise God. So this is the key that Jesus Christ wants to apply in our life. This is the key that is being applied in the lives of those who are hearing the voice of truth today. Praise God. When Jesus Christ asked the disciples, who do they say that I am? Who do men say that I am? You see this in Matthew chapter 16 from verse 13. Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? See, none of the disciples could answer except Peter. Peter says what? You are Christ. You are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ turns to him and says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. He said, blessed are you, Peter. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Because flesh and blood has not revealed this mystery to you. This hidden mystery. This revelation that the world does not know. Flesh and blood cannot reveal it to you. The wisdom of this world cannot reveal it to you. Man cannot reveal it to you. Your religion cannot believe it to you. Even your own mind, your own carnal mind cannot reveal this to you. It has to come from above. My Father from heaven has revealed it to you. It's my Father that has, you know, allowed you access. He has given you the keys. Oh, hallelujah. And look at what Jesus Christ says. He says that, and I say unto thee, this verse 18, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind upon the earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose upon the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Praise God. Are you listening? I will give you the keys. Those of you who have the revelation of Christ, praise God. Hallelujah. We're not just talking of revelation of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We're talking of a revelation of Christ. Of Christ in you. Oh, hallelujah. See, many of us Christians at times lose focus of the of what Jesus Christ brought to the world. Jesus Christ came to point out Christ in you. Jesus Christ came as a sign, but people are looking at the sign. It's a sign that points to the Christ in you. He came to reveal the Christ in you. Praise God. He came to give us understanding that we are Christ. Praise God, He descended from heaven to give us understanding. He descended from heaven to give us the key that will loosen us from the tribulation and hell we've suffered. That's why it says that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will no longer prevail against it. Praise God. Once you have this revelation, this incorruptible word from above, and you begin to apply it to your life patiently, hallelujah, you will discover the gates of heaven open up to you, and you enter into the realm of delights and pleasures, hallelujah, where nothing like fear and the torments of this world will ever be your portion again, hallelujah, because the church of God is founded upon the rock, which is upon Mount Zion, hallelujah, and nothing of the devil can ascend to that realm and touch the elect of God. Praise God. So this is the key in the hands of the Alpha and Omega. We must recognize Christ in us. Hallelujah. Recognize Christ in us and begin to walk by faith in relation to Christ in us. Walk according to the Spirit. Hallelujah. Shed your outer life. Let it go. Praise God. Begin to live that life by faith, exactly the way Jesus Christ lived. Jesus Christ had shed the outer identity and was living by revelation of the Christ within. See, he did not live as a son of Mary of Magdalene, of Mary. He did not live as a Hebrew. See, he did not live as a man of this world, as a man of the earth, but he lived as a man from above. That's why he could say, "You are from beneath and I am from above." You are from the lower places of the earth. You are the dust, while I am from above, from the heavenly spiritual places in God. He walked in that dimension because he had the revelation. Oh, praise God. And that is how we continue this progress and progress and progress into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That is what restores us back to our glory, when we begin to walk in this thing by faith. Take the keys from heaven, the keys in the, you know, the hands of the Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. And apply to our lives patiently. Amen. That is what gives us access back into that company of the Alpha and Omega. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. If we want joy, if we want peace, if we want access into the new Jerusalem, hallelujah, into God's new creation, new heavens and the new earth, hallelujah, if we want access to the fountains of living waters, we must apply the keys in the hands of the Alpha and Omega in our lives. Oh, hallelujah, praise God. Amen. If you quickly go to the book of Revelations, chapter 3, this is a message to the sixth church, which is the church in Philadelphia. Amen. This message is all part of the seven messages to the seven churches, which go forth to strengthen the church, encourage the church, and to lead them back into glory and maintain them there. The messages are the voices or the contents of the seven trumpets. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, I'm reading Revelation chapter 3 verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David. He that opened and no man shutted, and shutted and no man opened. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. The key of David. The key of David. What is the key of David? Earlier on in the book of Revelation, we saw keys in the hand of the Alpha and Omega. Now he talks about the key of David. Is there one key in the hand of the Alpha and Omega, another key in the hand of another key of David somewhere in the sky or something? No. He's talking about one and the same thing. Praise God. In fact, the voice of the message is actually the voice of the Alpha and Omega. So the key of David is the same key that John saw in the hand of the Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. It is the same key that is in the hands of the Alpha and Omega. Him that liveth, him that was dead and is now alive forevermore. Praise God. Is that same key that Jesus applied to his life? That's why he could enter back into the glory of the Father. That's why he could appear in that form. Praise God. And that is the same key that is being applied to our lives today when we hear the voice of truth and hearken to it diligently. Because you've kept my word and you have not denied my name. You've kept my incorruptible word. And you've walked according to the Spirit, according to the revelation of Christ in you, by faith, patiently, notwithstanding the weakness of the flesh, notwithstanding the opposition in the flesh, notwithstanding the outer that might look otherwise, when things are not encouraging. See, when it looks like if you are going nowhere, you are not progressing in the faith. Notwithstanding that, you have not denied my name. You've suffered, contradiction with me. You suffered tribulation on account of the word because of my name. Because you love my name. You had a revelation of my name and you kept my word. Behold, I have set an open door before you. An open door which no man shutteth, and no man openeth. Hallelujah. This is the door in the spirit. This is the door into God's kingdom. This is the door into the realm of delights, into the place of rest and glory. Hallelujah. This is the door into the throne room of God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. No man can open this door, neither can any man shut this door. Praise God. Because man is not aware of this door. Praise God. As you progress patiently, according to the revelation of Christ in you, nothing without, not even yourself, your human carnal mind, can block that entrance that the Lord has opened for you. Praise God. You can be rest assured that the Lord is faithful and he will not deny those who wait on him. Those who call upon his name and those who wait for him patiently will be exalted in due season. They will find themselves passing through the door into the place of joy, delight, into the place of all power. Praise God. This is the key of David. that is applied in our lives, those of us who hear the word of truth today, those of us who recognize Christ as the only one, as the anointed of God, as the true one of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are the ones who enter in. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Christ is the truth. If you continue in my word, you see, if you continue in my doctrine, in my word, continuity. See, this admonition for the brethren, advice for the brethren. Continuity, because at times, things with that might not look favorable. A family member is sick. My marital life is in shadows. Is in shatters. I can't get a husband. I can't get a job. The creditors are chasing me day and night. I have some weaknesses in the flesh I've not yet been able to overcome. And all this opposition from brethren who reject your word. Opposition from family members. And all these things you suffer from without. Don't let them affect you. Continue in the word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Praise God. Praise God. Our continuity in the word, in the revelation of Christ, in the revelation of our true, invisible, incorruptible identities from the foundation of the world, and our oneness in God, increasing in brotherly kindness, in love. See, I'm putting under subjection every form of carnality, every high things that try to exalt itself against the knowledge of Christ in us. It's what grants us entrance into God's kingdom. Continuity, patience, and zealousness. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. For sake of continuity, you see that the key of David is first mentioned in the book of Samuel, or no, book of Isaiah, chapter 22, verse 20. That's to show you that the Bible is one thing. The Word of God is one. It cannot be separated. It cannot be divided. Praise God. You discover that those things that we see in the Old Testament are truly pointers to things in the Spirit. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe, and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the thing that God is given to we, the church, today. Recognize that David, who was the least among his brethren, was selected and anointed by God to rule and to reign over the house of Israel, over the house of God. So that no matter the adversity that David suffered, no matter what he suffered in the hands of Saul, no matter the hardship he went through, God ensured that he eventually inherited that throne of God, that throne in Jerusalem, which actually is the throne of God. to rule over the people of Israel. David is a shadow of Christ today. He's the anointed one of God. He's the one upon whom all the promises of God rest. Praise God. God is not coming down to, you know, to declare any new blessing to anybody. God is not coming down to bless me and you anymore. No. He has already bestowed eternal blessings to his son, Jesus Christ. Praise God. He has already bestowed eternal blessings from the beginning to Christ. He has bestowed grace and mercies, life, authority, and every dominion to the Son. Praise God. So there is no need anymore to go out asking God for this and for that. All you need is to realize the Son in you. Praise God. Realize the Son in you, and the sure mercies of David, which is the sure mercies of Christ, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, will rest upon you. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. That is an eternal voice. God speaks in eternity. God does not change. Eternally speaking, that is the voice of God. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And it does not change tomorrow. It has been that same voice from the beginning. So if you want blessings, if you want, you know, to be partakers of the goodness of God, awake to the reality of Christ in you. Apply the keys of truth, revealing Christ in you. The understanding of Christ in you is the key to your success, is the key to your blessings. The understanding of your nature, of your true identity as Christ, is what will open the door into the unlimited blessings of God, where all things are possible. Praise God. You don't need to go about saying, pray for me this, pray for me, brother, pray for me, pastor. Of course, we shouldn't get too proud. Of course, once in a while, we might need help from each other. Support from one another, to help each other. And all of that, you know. I say this because some brethren kind of think, you know, it is low, how do I put it? It is something lowly to ask for assistance, counseling, or help from a brother. Praise God. But what I'm just trying to say is that ultimately, that thing we are seeking comes when we apply the key of David in our life. The key in the hands of the Alpha and Omega, which is the keys of hell and death. Apply the revelation of Christ. Apply it in your life by faith. Walk by faith. And gradually you begin to, you know, see yourself being loosened. Loosened from those things that held you bound. Praise God. Loosened from those things, you know, that made it difficult for you to please God. And as you continue, you will discover yourself back in a place of bliss. Walking in relation in oneness with God. All power. All love. Hallelujah. All liberty. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. So if we are seeking the blessings of God, we must apply the key. Recognize the keys in the hands of God. And apply it in our lives. There's no other way salvation can come. Amen. Praise God. There's no other way salvation can come, or there's no other way we can enter except by Christ. There's no way we can enter except we recognize who we are. Recognize our perfection. Recognize our true nature. Apply the keys in our lives. And walk in relation to Father. Call God Father. Call God Daddy. And walk by faith in relation to the Father. Amen. Praise God. Now, in reference to the blessings of David, I want to read something interesting. So you begin to understand the gravity of the love or the blessing bestowed upon David, which, like I said, is a shadow of Christ. All these are pointers to Christ. Amen. even David of old has to be converted to Christ to see life. See, but naturally speaking, and physically, he was blessed. He saw the best. But nothing compared to the glory that is in Christ. Praise God. Christ is the greater David. Amen. Psalm 89 from verse 14. Justice and judgment are the habitations of thy throne. Mercy and truth go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength. And in thy favor, our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou speakest in a vision to thy Holy One, and say this, I have laid upon one that is mighty, I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, my arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exert upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercies will I keep for him forevermore. My covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. You see it? We're talking of an eternal throne that is promised David, which is, like I said, is Christ. An eternal throne forever as the days of the heavens. That is the throne of Christ. We are seeing here the blessings and the eternal love with which God has loved Christ, who is his servant and his son. So that the enemies, corruption and death, sorrow, pain, anguish, fear, and all those things that men suffer in this world cannot touch the Son of God. Because God has crowned him with loving kindness and, you know, tender mercies eternally. Now this voice, this thing I just read in the book of Psalm, is something that is eternal. The prophet who wrote those verses was able to tap from the spirit and apply that thing to David in the natural. But recognize that voice of God pronouncing blessings upon his son is there eternally from the beginning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because God has promised us a kingdom in Christ. We who join ourselves to Christ, he has promised us a kingdom that is exalted so that we become the firstborn and into the church of the firstborn upon Mount Zion, above the kings of the earth. These are the natural men, the men of the dust, the human beings. We are above them. See it? Praise God. Because we sit in heavenly places, where we rest in heavenly places in Christ. This is a reality for us, we who identify with the message, we who have the truth, and allow you to walk like kings in our life. This is the key of David. Because God has blessed us and he cannot reverse it. Praise God. There's nothing like a curse. The son of the wicked one, the devil, cannot touch those who continue in the truth. The gates of hell cannot prevail against those who apply the keys of David. Praise God. It's just simply continuity in the revelation of Christ. Hallelujah. Then the sure and tender mercies of David rest with us forever. And we have a throne eternal in the sky, in the heavens, where we rule and reign with Christ, eternally speaking. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to realize that these things are now, present tense, not for tomorrow when something happens in Jerusalem? Praise God. If you can get this revelation now and start heading through that open gate, applying these keys of David, waiting patiently, hallelujah, and sowing in the Spirit. Christ is the Spirit. So if you sow in the Spirit, means you walk in the Spirit. Walk in relation to the revelation of Christ in you, in your true immaculate identity. Spotless, stainless from this world, abstaining from, you know, all forms of ungodliness. I'm patiently waiting for that, the dawning of that day, where you recognize, when you fully realize this, the beauty of God's salvation. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. If you go down, go back to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, still the message of to the church in Philadelphia, Revelation chapter 3, verse, I start from verse 10. Behold, thou hast kept the word of my patience. I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. See it? Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have heard. Now, what does it tell you to hold fast to? Hold fast to the revelation of Christ. Let there be continuity. Let no man rob you. Let no man snatch this revelation from you. Don't let your family members snatch it from you. Don't let even your own carnal thinking and imagination snatch this revelation truth from you. Hold it patiently. And behold, I come. Where does it come? Where does Christ come? He comes in you. Praise God. Behold, I come quickly. I come quickly. I manifest in you quickly. I am unveiled in you quickly as you keep these words. As you continue confessing Christ, and walking in the Spirit, hallelujah. Loosening yourselves daily from the attachments of this outer world, and living in relation to, by faith to the Father, hallelujah. You realize Christ in you. Praise God. And we know that Christ, in him there is no darkness at all. In him there is no death at all. So if you realize Christ, you realize that, you realize incorruptibility, you realize immortality, you realize life. Praise God. The key loosens you from your lowly human self and unveils the true Son of God in you. That's the key of the kingdom. Praise God. And it gives you access into the new Jerusalem. Praise God. Like we see in verse 12, him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven for my God, and I will write upon him my new name. You see it? Praise God. as we realize ourselves in Christ, realize ourselves in God's kingdom. Because this is the kingdom of God's dear Son. Along with Christ comes the kingdom. Along with Christ comes the new Jerusalem, the new heavens and the new earth. It's the dimension in which Jesus Christ walked in. It's a dimension where all things are possible. It's a dimension where you call God Father in reality. See, when you are encompassed in the presence of God, in the presence of God, hallelujah, as the waters cover the sea. It's a new heavens, new earth. Praise God, you have a new name, a new nature. Hallelujah, no more that corruptible man of the earth, the sinful man. You have overcome this world. John says that him that sinneth is of the devil. See, but we know that he has come to destroy the works of the devil. He destroys the works of the devils and sets the prisoners free by applying the key of David, which is revelation truth. Revelation of yourself. Revelation of the truth that Satan hid from you from the foundation of the world. Revelation truth, you know, liberates you from, you know, your bondage to corruption and sets you free into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. That is the key of David. Recognize who you are. Recognize your true immaculate form from the foundation of the world. And reclaim it with all boldness. Approach the Father's presence with all boldness. Return to your place in God. Ascend from the dust. Ascend from material living. Ascend from the illusion of your carnal identity. Divorce yourself from this world, this temporal age, and get back into the spirit, into the eternal realm of God. Praise God. That is the key of David. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Along with the key of David, comes our peace, eternal peace. Comes our victory. Victory over the devil. Praise God. In fact, in the book of Revelation chapter 20 verse 1, this is what John says he saw. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold upon the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Praise God. That angel that descends from heaven is none other than the messenger of God, which is Christ. It is the messenger of God revealing truth. It is the messenger of God bringing the good tidings of the gospel, revealing Christ in you, which is the glory of God. That revelation is what binds the devil. It's what binds the deceiver, the one who has deceived you all these years and told you that you are a sinner, that you are contrary from God, that you are anything apart from what God is. That is a deceiver. Praise God. This is the one that has denied you access to your peace and to your portion in the Almighty God. But when the truth comes, it chains the dragon. It chains the devil. And cast them into the bottomless pit. So that they no longer have a part, a hold over you. You are set free, praise God. You are liberated eternally, hallelujah. Praise God. And you enter into the realm of peace, the millennium. Hallelujah. You enter into the realm, the dimension of unlimited blessings and all power. Hallelujah. Where nothing can tamper with your joy anymore. Nothing can tamper with your peace anymore. Praise God. Hallelujah. So what do we do, brethren? Apply these keys patiently in meditations. Don't be discouraged. Hallelujah. Don't let any man steal what you've heard from you. Hallelujah. You've not denied my name. Continue confessing Christ. Continue confessing Christ. Hallelujah. If you make a mistake, you stumble. Hallelujah. That's the blood of Jesus. Stand up again. Dust your back. and confess him once more. Continue. Confessing him, speaking him, hallelujah, speaking the word, confessing the word, continuing him, hallelujah, continuing him, hallelujah, praise God, speaking the word, hallelujah, and never letting the devil deceive you anymore. Continue, allow these keys to loosen you and bind the devil, praise God, so that you can find yourself back in glorious apparel, in white, in light, exactly like that same image of the Alpha and Omega. Gathering in him. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for this revelation. Amen.